Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
I just can't take it anymore, dude. I cannot. Well, the last 30 minutes play like a dismissive ambush.
I can with you.
Leading to a final scene so utterly misguided that I wanted to hurl obscenities at the screen. Exactly.
I found a piece of text that mirrors my thoughts exactly.
It fucking is nice to know you're not alone in the universe.
Speaking of not alone, welcome to the Who Goes to Podcast, episode 422. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
And this is Ree. Bad opinions about the Mist.
Bad opinions, dude.
Bad takes.
If you want to be pissed off.
L take on the Mist.
Instead of being pissed on, fucking listen to this Patreon content, my lord.
I'm about to take all the piss.
And I'm about to take.
Oh. How you been?
Been all right, yeah.
Other than?
Yeah, just same old.
Yeah.
Same old shit. Just been fucking... X-Men pilled for like the last like week and a half.
So you saw Deadpool and Wolverine like then a couple days after our last recording.
Yeah.
And I had seen it that day. So it got you super nostalgic. You watched these before you went or after or both?
Well,
in the middle of.
I saw, in the middle of the showing? I saw Deadpool Wolverine twice in theaters, and in before and in between the two viewings, I watched like as much X-Men, you know, live action films as I can.
You loved it,
and then I've been playing all of Raven's nerdy
oh,
shit.
Oh, that's right. You played the video game.
That too, yeah. Raven Software, they made some dope fucking Marvel Wolverine games.
Yeah,
like a good like 9 year stretch. They did X-Men Legends 1 and 2, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2, and then they did. Did the great hack and slash, the
bro
Wolverine that was Origins.
That was the first Xbox 360 game that I ever pirated.
Yeah.
It was fucking awesome. It leaked like a week ahead of time. It was so good.
Yeah. And you got to get these off like certain websites, abandonware stuff, because, you know, the license were too expensive. So they've all been delisted for years. So these games, you can't find them anywhere. Like if you want a physical copy, you'd be ready to dish out like $200, yeah. $200 for
it. Just like the Godzilla game for the Xbox, right?
Oh, really?
Kind of similar.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, 100%. So
those were games. I played that Wolverine one too.
It was fucking dope. Awesome.
It was dope,
dude. The real time battle combat. Damage and everything was fucking amazing.
The combat system, it had real impact with the hits.
The modding community. I'm playing in like 4K textures, 120 frames a second with like costume mods. So it's the shit from Deadpool Wolverine. Like, it's fun.
Yeah. Ultimate Alliance, like. Totally, I get it. It's just like a mindless button masher, but as a fan of the stuff, seeing the characters together with and the combination stuff you could do.
Yeah, you see the fucking, the team ups and the moves, yeah.
Yeah, and then
I can't wait to do a mini Marvel's Capcom fucking tournament.
Dude, I'm going to I'll juice you up.
That'll be fun. Dude, I've been practicing, dude.
Dude, I'll get you back for the Mist. Both of you.
You'll get us back. No, I feel like we should be getting you back.
Well, you guys, look, you guys made that movie. You worked on it. You're responsible for it. So this is a personal
payback affront. For that ending. I don't know, man. I've been practicing, dude. Let's go crazy.
No, but have you?
Yeah.
You've been talking a lot, so you must have been practicing. So actually, I'm pretty fucked if you've actually been.
Go figure.
If someone's actually been practicing, they're going to beat you. Like, there's no way I'll just pick it up and be like.
When I sent you guys that video of that Evo fucking, I was like, today's the day. And I fucking started playing Marvel vs. Capcom. Man, it's fucking good.
What, 1, 2, or 3?
Both. Oh. Well, 1 and 2. I never really played 3.
3 is fucking like it's ADHD.
It's crazy, bro. Like,
holy
it's
shit.
It's very loud.
Yeah. It's a lot. I know that sounds like it always has been, right? And part 2 even got real busy.
Yeah.
But like part 3, I was like, what the fuck?
I've been waking up in the morning and fucking hearing, want to take you for a ride.
I was playing, I was playing it in the car for Courtney. She was like, what is this
thing? Oh, man. So of your X-Men Marvel journey, what was your favorite or least favorite
of the movies?
Yeah,
yeah. So
excluding Deadpool.
Yeah, yeah. So I revisited X, and I haven't seen a lot of these since they first came out in theaters. So when we're talking X1 and 2, I was a kid or a young teen. So I watched X1, X2, The Wolverine,
cool.
Logan, Days of Future Past,
Fucks.
And First Class.
You Fucks. Didn't watch X-Men Origins?
Origina,
no. Wolverine?
I was going to save the worst for last, but I never got around
Dude,
to it.
Dude, it's really bad.
It is, yeah.
What you know, but...
Mm-hmm. Man, fucking Silver Samurai and that shit is like, what?
That's in The Wolverine.
The fuck? Oh, that's
yeah.
right. That's
yeah,
right,
The Wolverine, right. It had its cool moments and some of the cool, like, you know, references to Frank Miller's art and shit. And,
yeah.
And, because that was a dope, his first solo comic, you know? And
yeah,
that
the Japanese freaking stuff. Thing, yeah.
Like everything, the costume design spot on. I like moments of that. But honestly, I'd say X2 still probably my favorite. I was surprised how much I liked it.
But holds up fucking well.
I fucking am obsessed with Michael Fassbender's performance in First Class.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. I really dug that movie. And the style, the setting. Also, like, you know, fucking Days of Future Past. It's kind of, I love the timey-wimey shit, you know, that, you know, later on Endgame kind of did.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. At the time, it was a big deal to see both casts together.
Yeah.
Just in and of itself. But besides that, it's pretty, you know, it's fun. It's well-paced.
Mm-hmm.
The Quicksilver sequence was fucking great.
Yeah.
And they beat, at the time, they beat Marvel to it. And when they introduced Quicksilver in Age of Ultron, it was like,
yeah, great.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
And that yeah. we unfortunately that Quicksilver fucking sucked.
Absolutely. And that's
hence why they killed him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They killed him in the same movie. Yeah. We had Jeffrey Dahmer Quicksilver and you know, yeah. Evan Peters,
which is better.
You know, yeah. Brian Singer, he can do no wrong. You know?
I don't need him to be.
I was about to say, so you like Brian Singer, dude?
Yeah, dude.
I don't need Quicksilver to be a Russian immigrant.
No. No. That's
so yeah.
Well,
A lot of political assassination attempts in these movies.
Lots.
Quite
of
a
them.
Few.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you're like, any assassination was a mutant.
Well, speaking of which, you know, because it came out of, what, 62?
Was it you, dude?
No.
A few weeks ago, dude?
What?
Did you try to kill Trump, dude? Were you the other guy?
You don't want to know all about... Dude, you don't want to know my involvement, dude. I will tell you, though, electromagnetism has a lot more... A lot more uses than we've been led to believe. No, I'm just kidding. No, but fuck it. No, but coming out of the 60s, like with the whole civil rights movement, like Stan Lee, like any good fucking sci-fi writer, and he's a comic book writer, but he used the breakthroughs of science at the time to come up with his origins. And it was right after the, you know, the nuclear era had happened and everything in the 50s and everything. And so there was the atomic stuff. So Spider-Man is an irradiated spider. Incredible Hulk has gamma rays. He said he ran out of origin stories. So he's like, what if they're just mutants? Which again is a product of like the same kind of thing, but also biology and just evolving. But the thing was, it was a perfect fucking, it was a perfect metaphor for the civil rights thing because they are outcasts.
Yeah.
But, and then like the 60s are rife with all those freaking assassinations and all the, mm-hmm. the culture wars and yeah. all that. So yeah, dude, like the entire X-Men lore, it's shitloads of fucking assassinations and
it's good. That's I
mean, conspiracies.
All the political intrigue and shit like went way over yeah. my head as a kid watching it. Now I'm like, damn, this shit's fucking great.
Because yeah. you just watched Manchurian Candidate, dude. Mm-hmm. So yeah. now you're like, oh, this is just the elevated version of Manchurian Candidate.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, no, but X2 and First Class, you said.
Those are
Days of Future Past.
Oh, I mean, Logan's the clear, like...
Logan
the
is
best,
fucking...
the best. Like, I watched that, I'm like, dude, that is a perfectly paced movie. Like, I just... I think there was, like, one tiny gripe at one point, but maybe, like, the fucking, you know, Beyond Thunderdome shit with the kids for, like, a second, you know?
You're really leading into this Beyond Thunderdome thing.
I'm not the biggest fan, but, you know, besides that Captain Hook shit, you know...
Bangarang. Logan and the Dark Knight for me, like, and you're like, well, that's not X-Men, but I mean, I know you're not saying that, but those are a couple comic book films that transcend being comic book movies.
Yeah.
And that being that James Mangold did the Wolverine and fucking Logan, yeah.
Logan is like his redo of Wolverine. Yeah. There's a lot of the same beats, and he's, you know,
they finally let him and Hugo like all the way with it. Mm-hmm. You know what? And I was, because I was I don't want to say skeptical, but I was like, well, you guys just did this. You just said this was going to happen with this Japanese one and Frank Miller, which was an improvement over X-Men Origins Wolverine. Mm-hmm. But still, it's like, it's almost a forgotten film now. But Logan.
Wolverine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Logan, though, was like, dude, I'm hard pressed to think of a movie that is so violent and so visceral and brutal. And heartbreaking.
Yeah, that opening scene where he's like fucking up the dudes that like right outside of the limo is like, damn, just, dude. Like even just that alone is just crazy.
Immediately.
Every character was strong. Like fucking Boyd Holbrook was great in that. That was my first time I've ever seen him.
And yeah.
Even like this minor Caliban did a great job, and fucking Patrick Stewart was fucking, it was heart wrenching.
That movie had me thinking Boyd Holbrook was like, you know, a big next thing. Mm-hmm.
Then the Predator, dude.
And then fucking Dial of Destiny, where Mangold let us all down.
Hugh Jackman must feel so interesting about his character in the movies, because like he's been like that, him playing that character, he's seen like the lowest of the low, and then also like a fucking revelation with Logan.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
If he knows that.
Oh, you mean with the quality of the films?
Yeah,
absolutely.
He knows that character.
That's true.
He knows that character so well. Like, if he was more inclined to like wanting to direct a film, I feel like he could direct his own Wolverine movie. I think he knows that character so well. He could do some Sylvester Stallone shit, you know?
Oh, and he's fucking 55 now. Like, I'm seeing these comparison things. You just watched the original X-Men in, what, 99? They have the shot of him, you know, with his shirt off first time, because Wolverine. The
cage fighting, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, compared to what he looks like 24 years later, now that he's 55...
Yeah. He's actually bigger.
He's ripped.
I think he looks more dope now because he's got that like old man strength.
Well,
now.
And he's way more like, it's not even close, his physical like he's a specimen, you know.
Well, he looks more the part now too, right? Because he's aged a little bit more and he's got like the lines in his face and all that. Like,
and then when he did the Wolverine, that's when he started really laying into the physical, Wolverine pushing himself physically.
In Days of Future Past,
yeah,
you know, I examined him. And
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they did an ass shot in Days of Future Past, and I remember in theaters everyone was fucking clapping, and you know, it was like Tommy the Room was like, show that ass, you know.
Yeah. X2, like I mentioned on the Discord, but it's worth, like, that was one where I watched the fucking the special features and the director's commentary. So I can proudly say I've listened to a director's commentary from Bryan Singer. No, but there was some interesting stuff, though. Like, he said the stuff, the plane, even down the stuff they selected for the production design, the vehicles they selected, he was selecting things that were purposely kind of neutral time period wise so that it wouldn't age as much. And it was like, I hadn't really thought about that, but it makes sense because it holds up still a little bit.
It is a little timeless, yeah.
Yeah, and then he said the interactions, the character interactions on the team, especially because you've got like a couple empaths. I mean, they're more than empaths, but when he said that Next Generation was like a huge influence, especially the stuff like on the Blackbird.
I can see that.
Yeah, which was it's like when he said that, it was like, that's why I fucking like, because you've got Jean Grey and it's like Troy. And all that stuff. And that was the only one at that time for me, as far as those comic book movies. That one, and I know Jorge's not, it's not your thing, but Spider-Man 2. Those two are the only ones that came close to being on the same level as some of my favorite sci-fi action movies growing up.
Unbelievable trash.
That happened Jorge's to be... Like,
Thomas Jane should have played in Spider-Man 2.
No, because X2 had a great fucking... Again, it's kind of like a Star Trek... Peak Star Trek cliffhanger ending. She dies. She sacrifices herself. And you get like the Phoenix tease.
Mm-hmm. Except for the next movie was...
And it was absolutely... Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking trash.
Yeah.
Just like Spider-Man 3. I mean, you think they're all trash, but for me, the level of quality drop-off between Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3 for me was like... I was already kind of suicidal, and it really put me there.
And the quality drop after Days of Future Past, like, that was the perfect ending.
Oh, bro.
Days of Future Past was, like, the perfect ending for me.
Dude.
And I wish they stopped. Then it did Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix back to
back. Bro, the fucking Apocalypse shit is just so... It's, like, it's Oscar Isaac doing... I don't know, like... I'm watching the thing, and I go, there's no way... How does he get conned into again? Back to the conversation about the Crow. How does he get conned into this?
Whoa! See, this, you're asking the same kind of question. How did Josh Brolin get conned into Thanos? Like, they did fantastic. Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse could and should be fucking fantastic. It was trash. The makeup was trash. It was written like trash. It was directed by Simon Kinberg, who's a producer, has no fucking business directing that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Apocalypse,
super,
like,
out of his depth.
Apocalypse, if you rendered him like you did Thanos and did it correctly, and it wasn't like fucking the guy listening to Ride the Lightning as Archangel, which is like, that's a character
trash,
introduction.
Yeah.
Well, that's that. I think that's the worst.
Magneto sucked.
That's the worst sin of that movie, is that, like, I think, like, there's a huge physicality to Thanos that it's obviously, like, neither, it's not just implied. But
I fucking love Apocalypse.
But dude, Apocalypse in the comic, in that movie doesn't have any, like, there's no physicality to him.
He's watching TV to get input, like, fucking short circuit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's terrible.
It was crazy, dude.
I've lost, like, most of that out of my mind. And that's terrible. I never even seen Dark Phoenix. I saw that trailer.
Dude, you gotta watch it.
Man, Dark Phoenix is like...
And also, here's the thing, too. There's so many X-Men stories and so many cinematic X-Men stories, right? Like, and so they're like, let's do Dark Phoenix again. So they tease Dark Phoenix in X2, then they do Last Stand, and it sucks. And they're like, let's do Dark Phoenix again. Like, okay, you already did that. And then it sucked again. Dude, there's Genosha, which is like the island with all the fucking mutants. There's Mr. Sinister, which is like, dude, he's like, when they finally hopefully do him right, he's fucking dope.
Well, yeah, there's Mr. Sinister is like, it's even more bombastic than Apocalypse would be.
Absolutely.
And so
cinematically,
you would have to do it to the point, like, you would almost have to do it in the Deadpool universe to do it justice, because it's that, like,
theatrical.
It's that crazy, like,
a little bit. No, like, not a little bit. Yeah. You're right.
Or even like Omega Red would be fucking wild.
Exactly.
They did him in Deadpool 2. He was just one of the inmates.
But that's not the way to.
Omega Red's tight.
Yeah, like fucking somewhere in some universe, there's a James Cameron X-Men film.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I mean? Which is just like, like an R-rated. No, not R-rated. But like even stuff like Sauron, like, right, like. Why do I bring... Because he's a fucking pterodactyl humanoid, dude. Like, that's cinematic. Like, put him in there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's dope. And he's... Like, that's... Have Mr... Like, all that stuff, they haven't gone anywhere near. They haven't gone to space.
Well, they wouldn't, right? Like, because it's... They've got their core
characters. They keep going to fucking Magneto.
Yeah.
And they're like, Magneto, Dark Phoenix. Magneto, Dark Phoenix. Oh, here's Apocalypse. Finally. Oh, and then he sucks
trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I did. Just those. And then Deadpool Wolverine, obviously. Did you watch that?
I've watched like an hour and a half of it. So I had a bit of a fucking scheduling conflict. So I watched most of it.
Like in theaters?
Yes.
And then you had to leave.
Yeah. And then there was a 720 rip that was released on YouTube.
Surprisingly, kind of, yeah.
Which was like not bad, but the sound is trash and the video is trash. So I'm gonna take Ronnie to go to the theater to see it. Yeah. So
I'll hold off on talking about that then.
So I recently rewatched within the last week Midnight Mass, and I think I texted you guys about
you
it.
Did. Yeah.
My Lord,
Mike Flanagan.
That's why I started.
My Lord Flanagan.
It like a year or two ago, I feel sad because I stopped watching it at like one of the biggest like cliffhangers, a big character death I wasn't expecting. And I watched because of you before I joined the show.
Yeah.
You talking about like one of an incredible monologue from that guy who plays the sheriff.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that shit was
dude,
incredible.
I had forgotten just how incredible that show was. I mean, it's a limited series. I just, not to be like, well, you have to be a little bit Catholic to really like fully engage with the film. But truthfully, like having the like the confessional stuff and all of that intertwined with this like really intense vampire story it's an incredible show. I mean, I would tell you like if you haven't seen it, like immediately go watch it. And you haven't. You didn't get past the first episode.
I didn't dislike the first episode, and I could tell it was setting up all sorts of shit, and it did it very... The thing is, yeah, I was watching it with Sophia. I will revisit it.
Please do.
I will. And I anything I've watched with Flanagan, I've liked for the most part, too, and I've heard nothing but good stuff it's about dope. That one. I never even watched fucking The Haunting of Hill House.
That's a mistake.
And they have all the cool stuff in the background. I already know all the spoilers.
What?
What? That's crazy.
Like, I you could, watch that's the, like the one that everyone.
You could didn't watch you Bly could, Manor. You could skip Bly Manor, yeah. But you gotta watch.
I watched the one last year.
Yeah,
and it was okay.
Oh, which one?
Follow the House of Usher.
Oh yeah.
I liked a lot of the elements of it.
I skipped that one. I didn't watch it.
We've started. So I saw Oppenheimer in the theater. Ronnie hadn't seen it, so we saw it and we started watching it. Man, oh man. It's like, bro.
Look, I'm sorry what I said about The Mist.
Can it be any better?
Oh,
thank God. Dude, I just like.
I get emotional. It's like 20 minutes in.
There are times that I'm watching it and just like the gravity of it. It's just like, dude, Hitler had killed himself. And we were still like, we gotta make this fucking bomb, man.
Don't you think it's kind of boring and long, though, dude?
No. But yeah, go on. Well, yeah. And you get to the point where they're testing. You know, they're testing finally the bomb. And I've come to realize that isn't even the climax of the film.
It's worse. It's later. We're living in the climax.
Yeah. So I get such a again, like, I'm talking about like visceral reactions, like in a bad way. But this, like, I'm watching this movie.
I got the stuff right now.
Yeah, dude, like I get fucking goosebumps just fucking thinking about it, man. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and just this cast that is unbelievable. You're like, nah, there's no way. Yep, there's a way.
Yeah, man. Would fucking when RDJ, and he won for that supporting actor, like, when he's at the table with them that one time and freaking, they're talking and there's like a, you remember, it's a black and white scene.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Because and they keep moving the flower pot.
Yeah. And then he's like, Robert. Like, it's because you could, the tension there and his face is just so realistic.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, dude, they're coming at it. It's not like, I think I've seen people online be like, well, I just wasn't that attached to his character and I didn't see why it was that big a deal. It's like, it's not about his character. Like, it sucks what happened to him. That's really not the gravity of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, the gravity of the movie is like when you have a group of people and they're completely, it's acting like a headless lumbering beast.
Well, yeah, they're
fucking going towards imminent doom.
They're like, if you think there's a mention of it, like at midway point, like right before they do the test, when they talk about like, this doesn't just end war.
Yeah.
This changes humanity. Like, completely.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy because, like, you know, you think that well, to me, when I think about learning about history and I learn about, like, you know, this bomb and this test, you're like, oh, this ended the war, right? Like, this ended it because, like, this gigantic show of power. But at that point, it was just like, we're just blessed, or we're bolstering at that point. Like,
yeah,
we're
because just, the Russia, I mean, I don't want to get all, like, I kind of do. The Russia, the land campaign, like, with Russia,
mm-hmm.
Russia fucking had ended the war with us.
We were,
you know, like, fucking Winston Churchill, Stalin, and Truman had an uneasy fucking alliance. Well, FDR, actually, before Truman, had an uneasy alliance because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But yeah, if it weren't for the Russian land-based shit, like, if Hitler had not tried to invade Russia during winter...
Yeah, huge mistake.
Yeah, this could have gone very differently. So the war was pretty much over. The thing was, there was all those holdouts in the Japanese fucking... in the islands.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, absolutely, like you're saying, like, it's not just to end the war, like, it's very clearly, like you're saying, to demonstrate, like, do not fuck with us.
Yeah.
We have this. That's what it is. Well, it's not just, this idea that's to end the war is, like, that's really, if you got a kid in a sandbox, it's the equivalent of they were slap boxing and then someone brought a gun out.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Even just that moment where he's like, "Well, no, not there because I got engaged or married there, right? Is that what he said?
Yeah,
engaged or married. It's like, dude, like they were playing with human lives like you would,
yeah,
like fucking Lego, and it's right. Crazy,
right? Which has gone on in human history with people in positions of power, but never to this level, to be able to talk about it like that. And it's almost like the more people that you're talking about, the less personal it becomes.
Yep.
right?
Yeah, because at that point, you know, it's 50,000 people, like whatever.
There's no way to have a human connection to an unfathomable number like that. Yeah. There's no individuals. You're talking about just fucking people. You're not seeing any faces.
You're talking meat at that point.
Pretty much,
just like meat in the grinder and fuck them.
And that's after, like, did you see fucking How the West Was Won? Or not. Excuse me, wrong name. I get those mixed up. All Quiet on the Western Front.
No,
the German one, the remake from like 2 years ago.
No, I know. I've seen the clips of some of the brutal shit.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking. It is absolute because that was the World War One was the first mechanized war. It was the first war with trench warfare, first mechanized war, first war with tanks,
mm-hmm.
first war with chemical war, and first war with planes. So, and that's before the fucking atomic bomb thing.
Yeah.
And these guys fought over an area about 3 miles for about 3 years. And that the fucking border moved about 10 or 15 feet.
Yeah.
And then when someone blew a whistle on the last day, when a dude blew a whistle, these guys are in the middle of killing each other. And then when this whistle gets blown, they just fucking go away from each other. But these kids, like these literally kids going into this war, they were fighting each other. They'd never seen a fucking tank before. When they saw a tank, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
They'd never seen chemical warfare before.
Okay, so...
It's fucking crazy.
So, dude. Kind of like the tail end of that, there was one other thing that we watched.
Yeah.
Okay, so that fucking... That gif of Thanos saying... I've been too... What's it? I've been too difficult.
Perhaps I was too harsh or something like that. Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Oh, shit.
Fucking Civil War, dude.
Oh, no. Don't do this to me.
So... Rewatch Civil War. Rewatch for me. Ronnie was her first viewing.
Okay, what was your initial? Like, beforehand?
So I was pretty lukewarm on most of it.
Oh.
And I think you were pretty positive on it.
It's in my like top three
movies. I have come around on that movie real good.
No, he's talking about Civil War.
Civil War.
Marvel Civil War.
No, Captain America
Civil War is fucking dope.
I'm so Marvel pilled right now.
Don't be Marvel pilled right now. No, I'm talking about Civil War.
Oh yeah, you mentioned this last week.
I'm far more
forgiving.
It's not even forgiving.
Of its stupidity?
No. I just enjoyed it far more.
Oh, well, it's an enjoyable film. I forget people can't see faces on this show.
Yeah. No, but I'm tending to lean more towards Jacob on this one, man. Yeah. Like, I
Look, man, I know I pissed you off with The Mist. You don't need to make shit up, though.
I'm just going to go down the line. What else can we pick at?
You already did that Don't Breathe was better than Mandy, so there's never going to be anything beating
that.
That's
the worst.
That's
well, yeah, that was it. All right, go ahead.
Oh, no. That's it. I'm just thinking when you talk about Oppenheimer, just that whole, like, dealing with mass numbers of death like that, the more people die, the less personal it becomes.
Right.
And, that's obviously the 20th century introduced these wars such as the world had never seen. But we're all living in a post-atomic, post-Oppenheimer world. That's why, like, when fucking Nolan was, like, for months before the movie came out, he's like... Like it or not, he's the most important person who ever lived. And it's like, that's a hell of a statement. But then I'm like, without seeing the movie, it's like, he's right. He's right. Because it's fucking, there's before atomic power and there's after. There's before the ability for the species to completely annihilate itself and there's after. As soon as you turn it on, it's not turning off.
Well, even just the idea that there was a non-zero chance of the atmosphere lighting on fire. It's like, y'all still did that, huh?
Yeah, and that's like, it could be a hokey scene. Like, if this was a Ron Howard movie, it's like, you know, and it's, but it's so well
played. It's Apollo 13.
Yeah. Well, and Apollo 13 was fucking great too, but that is a Ron Howard joint. But like, fucking, the way it's written too is like, it's like almost zero, you know, but he delivers it well, and he's like, "What do you want from theory alone?" Like,
Well, I mean, when you're talking about these gigantic reactions, right? Like, there is if the math proves out, you could light the atmosphere on fire, and that's horrifying,
right?
But
no, anyway. And then like the revisit of that, of course, you know, with the end sequence with Einstein or the end scene with Einstein, and then like I think we did, and see that on first watch, because it's a lot of movie, and we were fucking famously, it's Barbenheimer weekend, and it was at that fucking theater in Mission Valley. I'm sweating balls. Like, when they're out there in Los Alamos fucking looking at the fire, and I'm sweating balls.
You're feeling it?
I was like, God damn. But it got to that scene, and I was like, I was taken aback by it, but I couldn't process, like, the full weight of it on first viewing.
Yeah.
Then the second watch, and then with the music, I was just like, Jesus Christ, dude. Because you're talking about a chemical reaction which could set the fucking atmosphere on fire, and it's like... a chain reaction is a chain reaction. It doesn't, like, it one takes... So if, whether it sets the atmosphere on fire or whether or not it leads to a delayed, inevitable explosion.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's like it's a delayed inevitability.
It's one bomb or, you know, 30 bombs over the course of humanity.
Exactly. Later on. Right. We're delaying the inevitable now that it's been pushed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, I know that's, and it sounds pessimistic, but it's just like, you know, I think we're doing good that we've had all this shit pointed at each other and no one's done it yet. I mean, I think, I'm surprised we've lasted this long.
Because we got a bigger button, dude. No matter what, we've always got the bigger button.
And that's why the immediate sequel to Oppenheimer is Threads.
Yeah? Well, what about you, dude? What'd you watch?
Oh, geez. Sorry, we turned into the... to the freaking
X-Men and Oppenheimer.
The listeners are like, I thought we escaped this talk.
No, it's Oppenheimer. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to escape the Oppenheimer talk, but we are all lips.
No, just kidding.
No, yeah. I watched Trap, dude. No. I watched Abigail.
Oh, that's cool, dude.
Okay, so
good for you, dude.
So that's what I mean, dude. Like, I guess I'm in full hater mode right now. Like, not The Mist. I watched The Mist, talked about that on the pre-show. I had never seen The Mist. It's got its... Look, I get it. Cthulhu.
It's not Cthulhu, man.
It's got Cthulhu-ish.
It's like Area 51 it more that.
They have some Cthulhu types. They have some massive fucking...
Look, every monster that's big isn't Cthulhu,
you're just trying to fuck with me now. I know that's why you like it, because it has that feel to it. They're like the old ones.
I like it because
you're pointing that at me.
I like it because I like it because it's Stephen King. Let's be serious.
Yeah, well, and he said that was very Lovecraftianly influenced.
Well, there's also some stuff that's happening in the background of this movie that
I don't know.
I know. You can't. You don't.
We are the Walking Dead, dude.
Dude, I got the sociology part.
No, it's not the sociology part. I'm talking about...
Oh, you're talking about the production of the film?
No, man. I'm talking about, like, where this movie is placed in the Stephen King universe.
Oh, that stuff.
Is like, if you think about where these monsters are coming from, like, that's where the really cool shit happens.
Pennywise?
Same place.
I know. I've heard... That's why, I mean, that's how I knew without even knowing, because I've heard...
It's in the in-between places,
so
dude.
They're from the same place. They're all from the same place. Like, the fucking, the thing in Deadpool versus Wolverine where they're from the void. Like, there's a place where they're from. I fucking love it. Okay, no. But, Abigail, okay. Matt said it was fun.
Okay.
And
I said we shouldn't do it on the show.
You said we shouldn't do it on the show, and I'm kind of interested in doing it on the show. If you said you started it, I was annoyed from the get-go. I thought the fucking characters were like off the wall fucking irritating. The fucking retarded.
It was a bad opening.
Retarded, yeah. Elon Musk guy, the guy who died.
You don't have to say retarded Elon Musk.
He was talking.
You can just say Elon Musk.
No, but he's like... He's
Elon Musk.
Yeah, let me take that out.
Can you take that out?
No.
Which part?
No, but I think Elon Musk is at least average, if not above average. I just don't think he's a genius. He's a smart guy. We don't need to, you know, his face. I don't like his politics, but I don't think he's retarded. This guy, though... Was retarded, right? No. wait a minute. Mac Miller's in this movie. It's not actually Mac Miller, but it's another dude who Angus died of a died, dude.
Angus, he's ripped to a real one, homie.
No, but this guy, this is a, I hadn't Angus. What was
Angus Cloud?
Angus famous Cloud.
This was his last role, right?
Yeah.
And he was in Euphoria, which I didn't watch past a couple episodes. Once I don't need to go down the Euphoria thing. But dude, the way this guy talks, and King Hans was, we were absolutely. I missed an opportunity to really agree with you, Hans, about how he said the only one I found annoying died first. And the guy was extremely fucking annoying. Every time he talked, like, it's like, why are you talking like that? Oh, because you're about to overdose. That's why. You know what I mean? So, and then, like, dude, the movie, it's radio silence. It's radio silence. All right. And I loved fucking, what is it?
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not. I loved that shit. That was a sleeper hit of that year.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That was great. They did Scream 5 and 6, or 6 and 7. Just,
5 and 6.
You can take that out, man.
Wait, no, 6 and 7, yeah.
I mean, dude, you keep saying that, but I don't know what to cut anymore, dude.
No. And then this for me, though, was just them being very, like, very predictable and formulaic. And I had no surprise. Like, I knew she was a vampire because of the trailer. And once that starts going, and then people are saying the girl did a good job,
I thought she was okay.
She's okay, but as soon as I see a girl like in a ballerina outfit go 15 times, like it's hard to watch the last 45 minutes. And then like I like what's his name, and he's
Dan Stevens.
Dan Stevens, thanks, man. Yeah, Dan Stevens is having a year. He's got Cuckoo coming out. He's in fucking.
He likes doing the accents. He likes just having fun with it.
And he's with all his like old buddies, right? Like the dude, like Kong Godzilla. He's with fucking Adam Wingard.
Yeah.
You know, so he's kind of all over the horror spectrum.
Yeah.
Not that Kong, but you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Horror adjacent, monster movie at least. But, and I could tell he's trying to have fun with this. But again, it was more like, it was just like, oh, he said the F. I know we say the F word a lot here, but the movie's like, oh, he said the F word 15 times in a row. Get it? And it's like, yeah, dude, I get it. So I just wasn't big on Abigail.
For me, I didn't mind some of the performance. I'm actually not a fan of Melissa Barrera. I don't care for her acting.
Free Palestine, dude.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Is that what am I supposed to say? No, anyway. For me, my issue was...
You're really going for it tonight, huh?
The movie kind of ran in circles for quite a bit. A lot of revisiting, little rooms. Like, I don't mind the chamber pieces, but that movie just felt a little repetitive. Like, how many same bedrooms and locations we got to revisit, and how many people have to explode the same way.
That's what I mean. It was very, exactly, very repetitive movie, and much more formulaic and repetitive than I'd like from Radio Silence.
If I was 10 years younger, I would have loved hearing Danzig in a movie.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Well, and if Ready or Not wasn't so damn good, maybe my expectations would be different. I don't know, you know, but... not my thing. I'd give it like 2 out of 5, you know?
Same, yeah.
I agree.
I watched this movie, is it Caliber?
Calibre,
but I think it's...
No, it's Caliber.
Yeah, it's Scottish fellows. They go hunting in a rural area in the Scottish Highlands next to a little village. A tragic accident happens. Things escalate, and things do not go well. Mm. This movie's been on Netflix since like 2018. I had seen it pop up here and there, and I saw it pop up again, thankfully, on a couple of lists like recently. It sits at like near a high 6 something on IMDb and very 95% on this stuff, and extremely bleak movie. It's not the most stylish movie fucking visually, but it's efficient. But like, this is one where the plot and the performances and just where this thing goes. Pretty damn effective. I'd love to do like a hunting. We could do Hunter and fucking this movie. And
you like Hunter, bro?
That he hasn't seen it.
I wasn't impressed with it. I like the ending. I like some moments, but
I think
you really dug that one.
I did because I don't have I don't have like some huge standard for it. So I was really fucking. It pulled the rug out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot fucking grimier and uglier than I anticipated.
Yeah.
Which is dope. So yeah, I'd recommend that's on Netflix. And then I rewatched The King of Comedy. I was seeing all these new trailers for the Joker sequel.
It's a good new trailer.
It is a good new trailer.
Seeing IMAX in front of Deadpool Wolverine. I was like,
whoa. Well, and Todd Phillips, like the you know, scene composition and like the color coordination, just the
color grading,
everything, the art direction. You can just see all that. It's just really fucking meticulous. It's like so meticulous. It's almost too designed, you know, it feel like, but I'm, you know, it, will it still feel natural like you, the first one, you know?
Yeah, you want it to feel like a little indie, a little neon A24, but it feels a little bit more blockbustery or something.
Yeah, and it's a musical, so I'm sure maybe they're leaning in more to that, you know? And mm-hmm. it's also coming in the heels of a world-dominating billion-dollar movie made fucking... That was the first R-rated feature to make over $1 billion, mm-hmm. which Deadpool and Wolverine is going to surpass. But, yeah. Anyway, King of Comedy was a huge fucking influence on that movie. I hadn't seen it for a few years. It's considered one of Scorsese's more underrated movies. I'd say it's easily in his top five. Sophia had not seen it. You know, Sophie, when I tell Sophia like what a movie's about, I tell her what this is about. She's like, eh. I'm like, yeah. Okay, give it 10 minutes and we'll if it sucks, we'll turn it off. And so I love it. I love when we're 10 minutes into something like this, and then I go, you know, let's watch something else. And she's all, no, you know, because it was fucking great, dude. It was great. Like, it was 100 times better than Killers of the Flower Moon. Have you seen The King of Comedy?
No. I always wanted to, since Joker.
Yes. You haven't seen it?
Because I knew everyone was talking about that when Joker came out. I was like, I gotta watch this. Yeah.
You've never seen it?
There's a little period of Scorsese I never seen before. Like, I haven't seen Mean Streets or King of Comedy.
This is his follow up to Raging Bull.
So it's like his like second or third movie?
Oh, no.
Raging Bull wasn't his first.
Yeah, Raging Bull is 1980. So, yeah, it's. It was very misunderstood in its time, and now it's considered a classic. Mm. And it's top five Scorsese. De Niro, it's like a fucking extension of Taxi Driver.
Sandra Bernhardt in it. I think I've seen this.
This shit is fucking insane. It's a crazy ass. It's great.
Yeah.
A lovely film. And then I watched two other movies that are not on brand whatsoever. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and Sense and Sensibility.
Jesus Christ.
Both 4.5-star movies, but definitely not horror, unless you're talking of the emotional variety. Mm. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is a fucking mean-ass movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's a friend of mine at the bar who loves that movie. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy, Jacob. I put that on and Sophia was like, I'm like, was that a good date movie? She's all, no. It's, dude, like, this is like, there's Blue Valentine, Revolutionary Road, Closer. This one, I love, like, that's a good subgenre. Yeah. Bad date movies.
All right.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You should watch King of Comedy.
Okay.
You'll never watch it.
Mm. Yeah. Watch. Unlikely.
Okay. Watch The Mist again, then.
Thank you, I will. All right, we're going to be right back and talk about a film.
Oh, I forgot what we're talking about. Good. Ooh. Both back to back.
I was like, R-rated. Maybe it's good, but now it's more like I want to watch like.
Oh no, it's
the finished bad.
You talking about Rebel Moon?
Yeah.
Oh. I feel like I need to watch it.
I'm too. Ready to watch the finished product.
Can
of bad.
Can we do a Patreon?
We could.
The Land of Bad.
Of the it's two parts.
Yeah.
And it's
the unedited version, right?
Like Netflix was cut. Telling him no or something. Yeah. It's so stupid.
speaking of doing it for Patreon, yeah. Why don't you tell these idiots about Patreon?
If you want to do it for Patreon, you go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. And that's it. No, just kidding. No, you get access to the Discord and you get the episodes early. And there's different tiers. You pay $1 a month, $3. Don't pay $1 a month.
There's also the tears that come out of my eyes.
Yeah, the tears that come out of my eyes when you don't join. You know, these people are like, oh, I've been listening to the show for years. And it's like, okay, are you going to like send us money? Jesus Christ. No, but we're about to, there's a bunch of stuff to distribute to Patreon. And we appreciate all you guys a lot. And you get exclusive episodes. Just recently, we had a people under the stairs.
Had a people.
Retrospective. And we did a special Patreon exclusive episode on Shocker that was very recent. So we do things like that. And patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
Tight.
Please join us. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give that pitch? What's the vibe?
Three stars.
Three stars. This
is better than me, though.
I showed up here hating on Abigail in The Mist. It's bad news. I kind of liked Abigail better than The Mist. I'm just kidding.
Dude, Hamish Linklater plays or is the voice of Batman in this new Caped Crusader. Not,
it's like it's full on like noir detective Batman. Yeah.
Yeah, but J.J. Abrams is a producer. Get him off my stuff. No, I've heard good things. It's on Amazon, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's a weird... That's a miss of HBO Max to... WB to pass on that. They passed on that. Anyway, go on.
Anyway.
Who trying to get up in my crew.
It's a dope song.
It's a crazy song, dude.
Can you put that on in the... I know it's been a while since you... It's been a while.
Oh, in the mid-break?
Yeah.
I could probably get away with that. The Who Goes There podcast watch 2024's Trap. Written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan, starring Josh Hartnett, Ariel Donahue, Saleika Shyamalan, which is like, Allison Pill, Haley Mills, Jonathan Langdon, blah bitty blah bitty blah bitty blah, Kid Cudi for some unknown fucking reason.
I almost forgot about that.
Is there any beverages in there?
There is, what kind of bevies?
You want a rock,
you want to get jacked up right now, dude?
Hell yeah, dude. Please. Oh, thank you.
Enjoy your 3 hours of sleep.
Cracking open a Rocky.
Cracking open a cold one.
Cracking open a boy with the old ones.
That's pretty good.
Is that how?
Yeah.
Cracking open a boy. Go on, man. Go on.
Go ahead and cook.
Me?
Yeah, sure.
I was so happy that we were doing this on the show. No, I was. And I have made no secret that I am a total hater of Shyamalama.
Yeah.
And look, I like The Sixth Sense. I like The Sixth Sense.
That's all he has to say. No. I like The Sixth Sense.
I like Split. And then I'm like, fuck. Wow. He fucks? Okay. And then, he's going to do Glass? Like, I'm in. And I see Glass. I'm like, oh, he's retarded again. Never mind. Goodwill tarnished. And then it's like, okay, let's see what he does after this, you know? And then Old. Like, the fuck? And look, I know there are objectively worse movies, but for I just... The thing about this guy, he thinks he's super fucking smart. Like, he thinks he's so clever, like me. And so I see these movies and I'm reminded of myself. And I hate it. It's like pure projection. No, dude. This movie is a fucking complete ludicrous mess from start to finish.
Hell yeah.
It did not disappoint me at all.
Yeah.
It exceeded my expectations of what a fucking goofy, silly-ass mess it would be. Like... incredibly fucking goofy, and what I was not prepared for, that the real trap is to trap everyone in the theater for a full-on commercial for his daughter's music. That's what this was like, a total like a sucker, listen to my daughter's shit. And I don't even, it's like, well, her songs are that, I don't give a fuck, even if they were that good, which I'm not allowing myself to say that or think that, you know, like it's not gonna happen. And then that's good for me right now, but it's, congratulations, you have a new contender for top five worst Shyamalama movies.
This might be...
And that's saying something.
This might be up there for worst movie of the last 20 years.
What? Whoa.
I could not believe 4 minutes into this fucking thing that I was watching it.
Yeah.
Because, like,
In the car with the kid,
and then getting to the thing, and then I could not, and I shall not.
Let this pass. Yeah.
This is beyond all logic. It is the worst thing I have seen, I think, in 20 years.
That's, dude, you know what, though?
And I have seen some shit, man. I've seen some shit. This surpasses Old by about tenfold.
Old looks like a Hitchcock fucking classic. Rod Serling's finest hour.
So there is so much to talk about, and I kind of want to just like explore it with the boys. Is kind of where I'm at.
Yep.
But this film is unfathomably bad, and the talk that I saw that was like, oh, it's a fun ride, and. There was a lot of shit on Reddit about like, oh, it's enjoyable.
They should
and
get their fucking driver's license revoked.
That's an fucking experience.
That's dangerous.
Driver's license revoked.
Yep.
No more internet.
No more internet.
Internet revoked.
No children.
You're not allowed to breed.
Straight to gulag.
And in fact, fuck the gulag. You need to be hung.
Oh, you're going full January 6th for this movie. Damn. One cause is as good as the next.
If Trap is our January 6th, then I'm the one
who knocks
constructing the gallows on the outside of the White House. That's where I'm at.
That's fucking great.
Fuck.
That should be a soundbite on Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think,
Jacob? You know, nepotism has never really affected my life. Until this point. And,
don't forget After Earth. He's no stranger to someone else's nepotism.
I was smart enough to skip that one.
Oh.
But yeah.
Smart. What do you mean?
No, it's telling when like one of the best performances in the movie is M. Night Shyamalan's fucking cameo. Like,
yeah.
It's you know, I couldn't believe what I was watching. Like there was like a red handprint on like both Courtney and I's faces from like just the total disappointment and just face-palming
the entire time.
Our entire theater like collectively groaned and laughed the entire fucking movie.
Same here.
And not because obviously there's some comedic points, like little jokes here and there, but no, like the entire not movie. Like
those though.
Yeah, yeah,
it's they not like us.
Yeah,
it's I really couldn't believe that we sat through like an entire album of music, like. From his daughter, and
it's impressive.
And the twist is like she has a very hefty role in the movie, which I was not expecting.
Yeah, she becomes the protagonist the second half of the movie.
And
the twist is it's an hour and 40 minutes, and you just sat through the whole fucking thing.
He's like, get this, she acts too.
Dude, no, it's I was in a weird state of mind because like. You know, Courtney was like, maybe don't bring it up on the show, but you know, the like 3 or 4 hours like before seeing the movie, I had to put down our family, one of our dogs, man. And you know, I was like, you know, let's just watch a bad fun movie, you know, it'll be a good time, and
this will lift our spirits,
yeah, and dude, this movie fucking wrecked me, man. Like I was in a worse state of mind, like leaving. The theater, and
you're like, I would have rather have put down another dog.
No, yeah, dude, it's fucking. I just kept thinking of just, I don't know. In the end, it comes down, it's so exhausting and repetitive. And I don't know how many times this guy can get trapped, but like, that's it's fucking crazy. Okay. I'm in disbelief. It's the disbelief. It's like there's worse movies than this year, but it's just the magnitude of disbelief.
There's not worse movies with like this. Cinematography,
yeah, there's
and this, like, and also, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, real quick, my last point is like, you know, I would feel like I would never say this, but like, this is a movie where there's an argument that could be made of the importance of having a producer instead of like financing, because M. Night's famous for financing and producing and funding all of his own movies, and like, this is an argument of why you shouldn't do that, and you should probably have an outsider. Kind of take control of some aspects because this is what happens when he has full reign when you give someone full reign.
Well, hold on one second.
It's like the Star Wars prequels.
what was the budget for this thing?
Oh, dude. Here. Let's circle back.
Doesn't matter. It was all free for him.
What I mean is that like
it had a low opening for a Shyamalan movie. It opened at about $15 million, but Trap movie budget, I would guess about $20 million. And I know that sounds like a lot, but look, the cinematography was—it's a major distributed release, and it looks like one.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say the movie's good,
mm-hmm.
but Trap movie budget. Yeah, so 30 million.
Oof. Okay, so it's finally happened.
So a lot of people died last night of starvation in third world countries. And no, I'm just kidding. Okay. What's finally happened?
I think it's finally
diminishing returns.
Yeah, because well, I think his movies by and large make their money back fairly quickly.
What happened a few years ago is he got his big budget card revoked finally with the last the 1-2 punch of the last Airbender, which was a fucking debacle, botched a fucking beloved IP, right? Which I've still never watched the Nickelodeon show. It was supposed to be great. And then he did After Earth with Will Smith and Will Smith's son, who is a fantastic actor. Psych! It's like one of the worst examples of nepotism in film history, and only bested by this movie. But he got his big budget movie card revoked with that, and he had to go back to lower budget stuff. Yeah. And I was sad to see him survive at all, personally, because I was like, fuck yeah, crawl in a hole and die, Shyamalan. But then... And then he came back and did that movie with the grandparents.
The Visit.
Which people said...
It won a lot of people back.
Yeah, I thought The Visit was fine.
Never watched it, and I'm not going to give it the time of day.
That was his big comeback,
right,
so to speak. Yeah.
And then he did Trap. Or not, excuse me, he did Trap. He did Split.
Yeah.
He gives these names. He's very clever. And then... Split, and I was like, wow, that was fun. And then it was this real stealth Unbreakable sequel, Unbreakable universe. Like, wow, good job. And then, like, as aforementioned, then he did fucking...
3 years later, Glass.
Glass. And then he did...
2 years later, Old.
Old. And then he did Knock at the Cabin, which
Knock at the Cabin.
I despise that movie.
But you love it.
I love despising it. I love that his cameo in that one is he's a dude on TV talking about a chicken cooker. Which is like, dude, just don't fucking put yourself in the movie. I love seeing CGI planes drop out of the sky in the background in the middle of really portentous dialogue. It's fucking crazy, dude. But yeah, this one though, for a mid to low budget one, it had a $15 million weekend. I don't know what it's made overseas. But
not much.
That's good. I'm glad, you know. But
well, the Saudis love him. $346,000
in Dubai. Is that even in Saudi Arabia?
In Poland, it made $188,000. That's rad.
Well, we can't make any Polish jokes because we know where that goes. But
yeah, we need to have a Polish person on the show before we can make
Magneto. Jokes. Magneto's a Polish person,
but he's not on the show.
He is in spirit.
Go back to
this Trap.
Well, do we finish this? We finished the movie, and I keep like Ronnie and I keep fucking like goofing around with the show, like, oh, when's the fucking twist gonna happen? Because like, you know it's gonna happen, right? And then you find out that the twist is the hatred we had inside. I can't really...
The twist is that it's fucking a movie, a commercial for his daughter's shit. That's the twist. The twist is the Trap.
Look, I find myself
it's like at the beginning of Tenet, which I know, like, you know, we all saw together in a theater.
Yeah.
Nolan does this really, like, interior thing by having an audience and he puts them to sleep. And it's like, now we're all going to sleep and having this communal experience. Right? This is like Shyamalan's version of the Tenet intro.
He's gassed us in
the theater. Like, we're all in that thing watching his daughter do the performance. Like, no, this is why I hate him. Because he makes mindfuck sound stupid as fuck.
Well,
he makes suspense movies like a fucking joke.
Here's the thing that I'm outwardly cringing about, first off...
Yeah, like, it's not an internet phrase. Like, I'm actually physically cringing.
I'm physically cringing about this daughter. And then I'm physically cringing about this singer and performer who is, like, an Ariana Grande stand-in. There are times, and I'm like, okay, dude, Josh Hartnett, he's doing a thing right now. He's, like, you know, picking good roles. you know, Black Mirror, this and this and that.
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
God, we can't get away from that.
And I cannot believe the magnitude of mishandling of literally everything. Acting atrocious, editing garbage, fucking some of the shots are kind of like interesting from a visual aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. Other than that, like, there's nothing here of substance that would make me want to be like, okay, you're doing a thing here.
Yeah, dude. So I'm glad you mentioned the visual thing. Like, Shyamalan has a way with visuals. Like, he has an eye. So there's, it has these teases that, like, okay, are we gonna see him do this kind of stuff? There's a part where in an eatery thing at the venue, he puts a bunch of fucking oil in a fry cooker. Mm-hmm. And it explodes on someone.
Mm-hmm. That was a dope shot from far away.
From far away. And you're like, okay, are we going to see more of this kind of stuff? But then he follows this up too, besides the visual thing. Then he goes on he has this character go up on the roof. And then he's out on the roof and it starts to get visually interesting. Mm-hmm. And then it immediately follows up with an absolutely insipid fucking scene with the SWAT team up there.
Yeah.
Giving him a bunch of information and info dumps and doing things that no SWAT team would do. And then just the entire film, it's not like the movie, to say the movie's contrived is like, no, it's one contrivance after the next from the beginning to the end of the movie.
Wait.
With in between a bunch of cringy ass moments from like Josh Hartnett dancing awkwardly to stupid, like unconvincing acting from the daughter.
Yeah.
He's going like, he's running into like the fucking, there's a lady, a red-haired lady that he runs into.
And yeah. Multiple of times.
Multiple times, which is not easy to do at a big venue like this. And none of those scenes play right.
Yeah.
He goes to a fucking, the merch stand, starts talking to the guy. And as we see in the trailer, the merch guy has like, he's the info dump master again. Everyone exists as an info dump, right, for this guy. And then he's talking to him and pulls him aside while the motherfucker's working the merch line, which... Never, like, I know it's like that nitpicking, but it's like, no, at no point does the movie feel grounded like a real scenario. Yeah. And it should, because we're not watching a fucking sci-fi movie here. Like, it's a fucking, it's a dad at a venue. Like, make it grounded. And then he, like, I'll go with you. He follows him to get the box. And then, like, all of, like, nothing plays well, how it should.
I mean, he
pushes a lady down the stairs.
That's kind of what I wanted to zero in on, right? Like, yeah. So, in this film, we're led to believe that this guy is, like, a brilliant serial killer, right? Like, he's like, 10 steps ahead of the this. Well, okay. And,
yeah, if he's an Idiocracy.
Let me back that up. Yeah. Let me back that up. The trailer had us suggested that he was a brilliant serial killer, right?
Yeah, some mastermind.
But in this whole in this film, all we come to find out is that the FBI is inept, the police force is inept.
Yeah.
Like, they've got literal cameras everywhere. They didn't see him put oil into the fucking thing. They didn't see him knock down a patron downstairs.
Yeah.
And it's like I just. If the movie's supposed to be clever about its presentation of a serial killer kind of getting away with it and getting one over on the FBI and the police force, well, he at least has to show me that there's some cleverness to this character. He's just an idiot.
No, well, yeah, exactly.
He keeps stumbling into these solutions where, you know, that scene in the limo at closer to the end where he escapes.
And then he's in the crowd all of a sudden?
Via merch.
Yeah.
Like, he merch bombs, and then he gets out. Huh. As if nobody could see him getting out of the fucking limo.
Yeah. It's like stuff that wouldn't play in a Mission Impossible movie, much less in this. And, like, there's no fucking, like, it makes no... And that's later on. That's after all this damage is done.
Yeah.
It just keeps going and going.
It's... Yeah, there's a big video gaminess to it. Like, I'm a big fan of the Hitman games, and it's like... Very much that. And, like, that shit works in a video game.
When you're playing
the game. Yeah. And in this movie, it's pretty unbelievable how he gets away with some of this shit.
You are so spot on with that fucking analogy because, like, in Hitman, he puts on, like, a hat and he's, like, unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Well, this fucking guy puts on a badge and it's like, oh, never mind.
Or apron. Well, yeah.
And again, he happens to be there when the SWAT is having a fucking completely forced, ridiculous info dump, and he's just in the back.
Yeah, as if they would be having these discussions about the case at the scene.
Well, and even
they wouldn't be doing like an unsub is blah 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 blah.
It's
and
ridiculous.
He's fucking blah 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 blah.
It's
and
so
he's
dumb.
Probably got some people in his basement. Blah blah blah. And we're gonna get him.
Quasi psychic profiler lady shows up.
The Donald Pleasance bitch. Yeah. Like holy shit.
Yeah, stuff like this is blah blah blah. Again, very video gamey. Not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like PlayStation 1. Like not even like I know about video games, right? But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like even for a video game by today's standards, it would be forced dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a fucking movie. Yeah. And absolutely Donald Pleasance bitch. Like we're talking about Michael Myers. And this again, like this dude has his daughter there at the fucking at the show. Like and he leaves probably 5 or 6 times, right? And then it's when you're talking about editing, like pacing, again, it revolves when we're talking about nepotism and how it's just a commercial for his, like, seriously, in between this plot, like quotation marks, and these suspense quotation marks, it keeps going back to these long drawn out sequences of his daughter, of Shyamalan's daughter performing as Lady Raven. Right, like it goes back to those, and then it goes back to this other stuff, and then you get like the old lady interjecting stuff like he's out of moves. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
like you don't even what moves has he been making? Like, did you and how would you know? Because you don't fucking even. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's been some elaborate chess game we've been watching. Like there hasn't been.
Yeah,
like
hasn't
you said,
been,
it's been completely random.
There
bullshit.
Hasn't been like any particular like cat and mouse aspect to this thing. It's just like him halfway stumbling into solutions.
Yeah.
It's like what the fuck?
He sees people come out of the fucking floor at the show. He's like, hey, he's literally telling his daughter like, why don't we go underneath the stage and see what's there? Like what? Like
you can't. She's there to see the show. Stupid.
You can't put that in the script.
Yeah. That's,
like you can't do that.
Hartnett looked just really uncomfortable doing this role. Like he doesn't fit as the dad character, like him trying to be like the goober dad trying to fit in and be hip. Like it's so just insufferable, man. And I
feel bad that he's in this.
I do too. I was like, dude.
Like when you said, why would what's his name play the, take the role for the Crow? Like he wants to be Pennywise, the Crow and Nosferatu. But this one, it's like, you just did a Nolan movie. Yeah. I'm gonna do a M. Night movie. Dude. What? No.
Well,
what is that?
Like, I feel like Russell Crowe would have crushed this movie, dude. I feel.
I Hartnett did what he could.
I would have believed the doofy ass dad more from fucking Russell Crowe than Hartnett, man, because like I think he's not that he's a young dude.
He's fine,
right?
But and the serial killers are fine.
They made him shirtless,
and I want to suck him.
Yeah, when he took his shirt off,
and it teleported back on later. Yeah,
yeah. I just want I don't.
It's bad, dude.
I don't believe this dude is so out of touch. And if we're led to believe that he is like this brilliant serial killer, he would have a little bit more like worldly. I don't know what's the fucking word I can't tease it out of my brain.
Worldly what? Demeanor?
No, I just think that he wouldn't be so fucking cringy, dude. Like,
well, dude, no, that part, I'm not. Look, for me, this is the execution, the writing, the plot. I mean, I'm sure BTK was probably a real cringy guy when he wasn't.
BTS, dude?
No, BTS. BTK?
I'm not BTS. Going to worry.
True. When I have Sophia walk on my back to crack it, I'm always like, oh, BTK.
Man, that's weird.
She knows a lot about the Bind torture killer. Like that's her favorite. It's really like when we got together, I was like, you know a lot about serial killers.
It's her favorite killer, dude.
It's her favorite serial killer, which is like, dude, let's step it up then, eh? You know? But
what?
But dude, there's some. I mean, when you see the ability of serial killers and people who are really pathologically insane to have these dual lives and to be these, you know, I don't have any. If he's cringy, that's one thing, but it just none of it feels natural or makes any sense. None of it feels like it's anything that would actually happen, and it doesn't feel even in its own universe. It doesn't feel like a scene. Like, is there a scene that's executed well?
No.
Like, and again, when we have an explosion of the thing, I mean, that real quick, that's like a shot almost.
Yes,
like,
yeah, it's barely a scene.
It's almost a scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost a good scene. And then again, that's set up for a ridiculous scene, right? Which is the SWAT thing.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, I know. So part of me was, I was holding out a little hope, like watching the trailer. I'm like, okay, this could be like some weird experience in, to see in theaters. And then that opening scene with the daughter singing, and I looked at Courtney. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. Oh no. Dude, and you remember how skeptical I was, and I've been wrong about like Smile. I was wrong based on the trailer. I was wrong.
Yeah, I want to be wrong.
I want to be fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And this one I didn't want to be wrong about. And that's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy. And I left happy. And I was in the theater cringing happy. Like, this is bad. Worse than I thought. Good job. You know? Sophia was not having fun.
I feel like I would, actually, if I now that I know it, I want to rewatch it. Like, we've been talking about this hackers thing, which eventually we'll get around to doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
it's,
like,
it's a meme.
I was almost like, maybe we should watch this as a group. Fucking trapped.
Dude. I would love to. I really would, but... The thing is, even when you guys talk about, I remember Jorge mentioning when he finally saw the trailer, because you saw it in front of a movie in the theater.
Yeah.
You said that premise could be, like, dude, look, from square one, I'm out with Shyamalan.
Really? Okay.
No, and also the premise made no fucking sense to me at all, right? They tried to say why later with the fucking receipt thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, like, again, it's such a dumb, oh, they set a trap for him. Like, what are you talking about?
They were inspired by that. Had to have been inspired by that real life event. What was like a concert or a baseball game or the Super Bowl? It was a Super Bowl, and they were trying to arrest like a huge like amount of criminals all at once. It was all like a trap.
Oh, case, they've done this right? before, yeah. right? Like where they invite a bunch of fucking mobsters to like a chicken bake or
this
something.
This is whatever. A single but, serial killer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look,
that they don't have the identity of.
The idea that they got the tip from his wife, who wouldn't just be like, he's right there.
The end.
Yeah. Like, it's the end.
So dumb.
It's fucking atrocious.
And the structure that in which that was revealed. Because he's like, okay, I'm going to have to justify how the fuck they even think he's going to be at the show. So let me put this contrivance in. And it's like, that's why? Because of the fucking receipt? Like, dude. And then we get all this, like, retroactive stuff of stuff we haven't seen between him and his wife. When a few minutes earlier, it's one of the cringiest moments in the movie where Lady Raven is performing at a piano.
Ugh.
And the mom's sitting back there singing with her. And then 20 minutes later, there's this big reveal about how she knew something was up with the receipt. And none of this, it's like the most asymmetrical structure ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally fucking like you know, it's stop, get some help.
Yeah, like, he needs to stop, dude. If this isn't his last film... I would be really fucking disappointed because I can't...
I would be really disappointed if it's his last one.
I just can't think of a way that, like...
How can you top this?
How can you bottom this?
The Happening. That's how. This and The Happening would be like...
Honestly,
back to back.
Honestly, I'm like...
Looking, Lady in the Water.
I'm thinking about The Happening and I go, well...
It's the Thanos thing?
Maybe
perhaps
I was too...
I judged you too harshly.
I judged you too harshly, dude.
That like, shit's hilarious, dude. Also, I mean, this force thing...
The amount of fuckery that happens in this movie is like beyond anything that's like understandable. It's lunacy.
And he's like pushing hard for this, like you said, Donald Pleasance thing, for this Michael Myers, Norman Bates... type deal. Like, he's really trying. Like, it's like, are you think you have a franchise on your hands here? Like, is that what you're thinking?
They were like, what if Michael Myers went to an Ariana Grande concert like
and had a daughter,
and it's from his point of view? And I'm like, what? Like, I know conceptually you could argue, like, yeah, on paper there could be something really interesting about it, especially the whole killer POV thing. People will dig that shit, but it's just...
The way it makes the most sense to me, and I'm not trying to be cynical, because obviously the movie's much more cynical than me. And what I mean by that is it's literally constructed as a vehicle for his daughter's music.
Mm-hmm.
It's nepotism. Like, it's one of the...
It's one of the grossest displays of it, man.
Right. So... It makes the most sense if he's like, I really need to make a movie around my daughter's music, and it's like a 10-minute throwaway premise. What if she's performing a concert and a serial killer's there and they're trying to trap him? Like, it's something this guy could come up with in 5 or 10 minutes and think it was like, don't overcomplicate it and just trust your intuition, dude. And now here we are.
And that's why you need producers to be like, stop.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, dude, that's why I'm saying I don't like even the premise. I'm like, it's convoluted as fuck for no reason. Like, you don't have anything like but like. Look, I watched Sudden Death with Van Damme recently. That movie is way better than this movie. And Van Damme's there at a hockey game with his fucking daughter. Fuck, and he keeps leaving her there and says, don't leave this seat. It's like structurally very similar. And it's way fucking better.
Holy shit.
Sudden Death, which was a fucking huge box office failure in 1995, is vastly superior.
There's a few movies probably like that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Thrillers in a huge crowded, you know.
Black Friday.
Yeah.
Well, even.
Dark Knight Rises.
The movie even kind of like laughs at itself when she's like, Dad, you keep leaving the seat. And it's like, yeah. Yeah, this is dumb.
It's like, fucking dumb. Like, just because she's mentioning it doesn't mean like it's okay.
Yeah, it's worse.
it's
fucking worse.
Yeah. Wait. We can't be. There's other things. I feel like there's other things. Oh, what about like the pop star who comes out with her at the end? The blonde dude.
That's Kid Cudi.
That's Kid Cudi.
You remember when he's like, knock on the fucking door louder, bitch?
Yeah.
Like that shit was like. And it's like, oh, well, that's supposed to be funny. It's like, yeah, but it's not funny because it's supposed to be funny. It's funny.
It's funny because it's stupid.
Because it's not funny, yeah. And it's supposed to be funny. So it becomes funny again because it's fucking stupid. And then, and then that stuff. And then, M. Night's like one of his longest cameos in any of his movies.
It's like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like the most naturalistic dialogue. And it's like, oh, he's like a real person.
Yeah.
he's not acting fucking weird.
I know what I want out of this scene.
Yeah. And it's weird because he's like, I'm the uncle. I'm her uncle. It's like, this is too much, man.
Well, it's like, also, why even bother making yourself her uncle at this point? Just make her, just say you're her dad.
Just play Josh Hartnett, dude. It's like.
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, dude, I think it's absolutely, as evidenced by the second half of the movie, I gotta say, if there's a twist, the twist is the second half of the movie leaves the venue, right?
I was surprised by that,
yeah. I was surprised by that, and it gets worse. It gets fucking worse.
The twist is, it's worse.
Yeah, because it's all about what he shows her on a phone. Like, his gambit is to show this pop star, this guy in his basement. And this is, again, like any of this would play out like this. Like,
bad move, dude.
Yeah, like these are the decisions. And then you got, speaking of bad actors in fucking wrenching scenes, she looks at the phone. As soon as she looks at the phone, the Asian dude in the basement's like, oh! It's like The Mist all over again.
Oh, shut up.
You know what, dude? I will not handle this fucking...
The slander
for The Mist. Fuck you, dude.
I was ready for the scene where Josh Hartnett, he approaches her and he's like, how did you do that? Yeah. I was like, I thought she was going to say, like, the power of social media something. Yeah,
she goes to the bathroom.
And goes on Instagram Live.
And it's like this, this
real... Hey, chat. get me out of here, chat. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, do any of you know where a statue is with the red door?
Bro,
and I'm just like, God shit. Damn. Oh.
She's like, anybody in Chicago? Does anybody in Chicago know a house? Okay, and then like the chat's like, yes, I know a house. Anybody know a house with a lion? Yeah. I've got a house.
One of her biggest fans is in that chat across the street from where the victim is. I'm like, okay,
yeah, it's great.
And then he goes, "How did you do that?" And it's like. What do you fucking mean? I wanna.
She's like, what did you do with your family? Like, it's like, oh, like, okay.
He killed them.
Well, and then, like, two minutes later, we're in the car with them. He gets his bag because he's the most, like, fucking Mission Impossible dude ever. And he's ready to go. He's got all these contingencies, and he's got, like, a fucking.
A tunnel.
He's got barbarian shit.
To the neighbor's house, no less.
To the neighbor's house. He's Anne Frank. And then he opens the garage and his family's standing in front of the garage, which is like, I locked you in the room. It's like, damn, dude. Like, will it stop? Will anything make sense from 2 minutes to the next?
He's like the shittiest fucking serial killer ever.
Dude, it's the shittiest writing ever. Like, yeah. It's fucking crazy.
I'm
like,
trapped by my shitty family.
It's like he had a randomizer on ChatGPT, like, for what happens in the next
scene. You know what you do in that instance? Drive around him.
Yeah.
It's possible to drive around.
And people. Also, why wouldn't they get the fuck out of there? Or do something. Or also, like, or call the cop. And then, what happened? He leaves with her.
Yeah.
Then he shows up again later as the limo driver.
Yeah.
Then he sneaks out of the limo by fucking
by merch.
Putting on a hat.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Oh, then he goes to his wife's house. Or then he finds his wife. He goes
back home.
He goes to his wife and has that shitty confrontation with his shirt off. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it was a mile away. She was going to fucking poison him. Or there we go. Thank you. We got there.
You thank yourself.
Thank you,
Ray. Yo, thank you,
me. Thank you, me. he fucking takes his own. She's like, is this what you'd use on them? Like, no, bitch, that's not what he used on. Like, yes. And then, so he's getting sedated.
Yeah.
And then summons the energy.
Oh, he goes beast mode, dude.
Goes beast mode while being sedated and getting tased to start gouging some dude's eyes out, which is one of the only scenes of violence, but it's not even close to violence. And then the old white bitch comes in and does the final tase.
The unbelievability that they wouldn't shoot him.
It's because he's white.
Instantly.
And that three people tasing him while sedated.
Is crazy.
It's fucking Michael Myers, dude.
And then, okay, so that whole scene is fucking insanity. So they tase him rather than kill him. Then they let him. Okay, so they handcuff him. They walk him out the front door.
Yeah.
They allow him to set the bike up. Okay.
Oh, yeah, cool. There's that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's later on, too, with fucking getting the little thing out when he picks the lock.
And then they allow him to hug his daughter.
Oh, yeah. Also, bringing the daughter back. It's like, is this the time to bring them back? Like, where were they? And it's like, M. Night's like, well, we need them in the last scene to say bye. Like, that's the only reason that's there. They were already gone. Where'd you bring them from?
And then, to suggest that they wouldn't have a police officer with him in the back of that vehicle.
Oh, no.
Is... What?
They'll let him pick the lock, dude. And once he picks the locks, there's no way that they'll survive once they open the door because he's fucking Jason Bourne, dude.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
You can't trap the beast.
Well, that's the... I get it.
You know what, dude?
I'm taking it too literally.
In those vehicles, they don't have rear view fucking mirrors into the fucking...
Yeah, they just don't keep an eye on them.
They don't give a shit. Yeah. There's no... You know, they don't care.
It's fucking insanity. Once it got to... That's what I mean. Like, it had already gone above and beyond. Yeah. Then the taser scene happened. And again, like, let the elderly lady come in with the taser for the last tase, because that's totally how that would go.
Yeah.
That's totally... That makes sense.
Well, look, the movie the entire time is like edging you and edging you and edging you and edging you, right?
Yeah.
But when he fucking... He picks the
handcuffs.
The handcuffs. Yeah. I'm coming, dude.
The Norman Bates
I'm fucking coming, dude. I'm coming hard and I'm coming long. Because
I'm ready for the sequel,
dude. Because there's no fucking way that M. Night was like, yeah, bro,
yeah,
that's the one. But
there is
a way, and he did it.
That's what I'm saying.
That's Chris fucking crazy.
This dude thinks he's onto some serious shit. That's why, it's like, dude, I know, like, how do you pronounce Ubol's name?
Uwe.
Yeah, I think he's obviously objectively a worse filmmaker, but like this guy thinks he's on to some serious shit, and
yeah,
like he saw.
Like, I mean, know. Like the trailer is like the best thing about this entire movie.
I hated the trailer because I'm like, who the fuck is Lady Raven? Like, what is this?
The marketing guy was smart. He knew to leave her out of all the marketing. He was like, yeah, we got it. We can't use her.
Yeah,
dude. Look, Smile 2. Also, revolving around a pop star, it looks like it's going to explore the perils of pop stardom.
Yeah.
Much, much better.
Well, I mean, who's to say?
Me. Because also, you got one in the bag for that guy so far. I trust that guy. What's that guy's name who did Smile?
Yeah, it's the homie.
That's the first. It's his first movie.
Yeah, no, I forgot his name.
I forgot his name too, but yeah. I again, I'm not too impressed by the trailer, but I wasn't for the first one. It is weird though. We got that pop star thing going on with both these. Not that this is a horror movie.
It is of the times.
It is of the times. How many stars out of five?
Half.
I'm with Jorge when he says one of the worst I've seen like in theaters. Like something that looks this like pretty and big budget. Like yeah. I thought Fantasy Island and the Black Christmas remakes were like top tier trash I've ever seen like for a big mainstream movie. But like this is it.
I think it has a lot to do with like how big of a shot it is, right? Because like
absolutely
because like Black Christmas. That's like a layup, right?
Second remake of a classic. Don't fuck with it.
Yeah, this is a huge
Fantasy Island. That's like
trash. You
know, like
no one's heard of the original. Yeah,
this motherfucker is a half point Hail Mary. Like,
and it swinging for the fences,
swinging for the fucking fences, bro. And it like it bounces off the hoop and hits somebody in the head and kills them.
Yeah. And you're liable. You, Shyamalan, are liable. You are liable.
Yeah.
And I love you for it. And I can't wait to see what you do next. Because, nah, man, I left happy. And I know that sounds fucking really mean-spirited, maybe. But I wish you didn't leave happy.
No.
Sophia, I was like, what'd you think? She's all, honey. I was like, would you watch it again? She's all, no.
She goes, honey. You're retarded.
Yeah, I want to watch it again. I want to see it again. Dude, when he fucking said, hey, what if we went down there?
Wouldn't I know, he's cool? Like, what the fuck?
I'm like, what? Dude. Even NoCal Mike, like one of our listeners on Discord, he's like, hey, let's go underneath there. And it's like, yes, okay. I'm not fucking an asshole here. Like, this is ridiculous.
Hey, let's go down there, dude.
Yeah.
As if his daughter would be like, yeah, I'm going to miss the show for the fucking pit.
And what is it? What did they call her? Like my angel or something? Like when she brings her up on the stage?
Oh yeah, the
angel girl,
the desolate,
the dreamer.
Ones. Yeah, the dreamer. Dream girl, my dreamer, and like all of that, and then
the dancing.
Yeah, that was heartening. Like he's all like,
oh, I'm like cringing right now, like, dude. I'm physically cringing. Like it's
damn.
Yeah.
Like fucking do it again or don't do it. Like, in fact, never mind. Don't do this whole scene.
Well, dude, I just think about this shit and I go, I've got a kid that's like close to this age, right?
That's you, dude.
And I'm thinking if either of my children ever behaved or comported themselves in this manner, I'd be like, I think you're done, dude. I think we're taking you to the fire station and you're being dropped off, dude. That's it.
Yeah.
I thought he was lying when he said he's a firefighter. He actually is a firefighter.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
But, God, I think we got it. I'm glad we didn't stop before we got to the taser in the last shot.
If you're, like, usually, like, I'm watching a movie with someone who's, like, very nitpicky. And I'm like, just chill, man. Just watch the movie. Like, no, you can't. It's physically impossible with this movie. Like, everything stands out.
That's why I've seen some people on, you know, those cursed Facebook groups. Sometimes movies just need to be fun. Like, what?
Like, and I get that to a degree, you know, but like this isn't it.
No,
I would literally like be flabbergasted if someone would like genuinely like loved this movie.
Sometimes movies just need to be fun. Like what? Like, like there's no fun movies like better than this.
Yeah. Like, I was waiting for like the Malignant turn, you know. Like,
Howard the Duck is funner than this, and it fucking is a terrible movie and great, but I mean, what are some fun movies that are? What are some fun movies, Jorge? Clueless. Clueless is a fun movie.
True.
Right? Kevin Smith would have made this movie better.
Oh my God.
Oh, don't.
Dude, I would love Kevin Smith's version of this. See, I would like to see him do a premise like this.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
He does like weird, outrageous, like plot shit like that.
Like, you know? Red State.
Yeah, Red State
or fucking even went all over the place. Yeah. That's a good, you know? Yeah, this guy, you know, he had a premise and a daughter, and he's like, that's all we need, dude. Poor Josh Hartnett. He'll recover.
Yeah. He
probably won't.
Yeah, seeing him do this press tour and he's just doing all like the young hip YouTube channels and just it's something.
He's dead to me.
Damn. It ruined Oppenheimer for you too, huh?
Yeah, dude, retroactively. Yeah. All right. Well, that's us for her trap.
I was going to say Hurt Locker, but that's a different movie.
The Hurt Locker is slightly different.
A little bit, yeah. Little bit.
Yeah.
Next week is Cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
Yeah, Tillman Singer's follow-up to his debut film, Lose. It's starring Dan Stevens, Hunter Schafer, and are they in Switzerland doing some wacky stuff?
It looks very cryptic with the trailers, very mysterious. Not yeah. cryptic, but very, very vague about the plot.
And a lot of the reviews so far have confirmed that. So we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay. And then Alien Romulus.
Oh, man, I'm fucking... Woo! I'm pretty excited at this point.
The more spoilers I see, the more excited I am, actually.
Are you going to the opening night fan event?
Fan event. You get a free patch and pin.
I'm going on the Dolby showing on that Thursday.
Same, yeah. I'm kind of bummed. I wish the fan event was IMAX because I didn't know that the film...
It was shot in IMAX.
Shot in IMAX. Yeah, it's fucking... I got to see it twice now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to the Mission Valley, Dolby?
Are you?
I'm doing the Plaza Bonita.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
for sure.
It's going to be rough.
All right. Cool.
Bye.
Bye, idiots.
Bye.
If you like this movie, then I don't know. Hope you're okay. Hope you can drive.